We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Joined now by Tim Brando of Fox Sports, one of our dear friends here on the network from Chateau Brando, where they're getting excited because Tim has been named an inductee to the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. Congratulations, Timmy B.
Yeah, and you know, Roger, I should say right off the top, I want to thank Nick Saban for opting out. He used recruiting, you know, as his opt-out of my class, but I know that really he was more concerned about being overshadowed by Kent Lowe from LSU, you know, the longtime sports information director, the beloved Special K Kent Lowe. He knew that he would just have been in his shadow had he accepted this year. So we appreciate, I'm speaking for Kent now, you know, thank you for Nick. But he'll be in, I think he's coming in next year at 22. We're actually the class of 20 and we waited, 18 months, we had this thing scheduled two different times. And I'm just glad that in typical Louisiana form, our brain trust decided not to do it virtually. It was like, we're going to get the full treatment. And I think what they're doing is we're having the 2020 class go in this weekend, and the 2021 class will go in the last weekend in August before college football starts. So they'll get up to speed that way. And it's just so festive. Natchitoches is a great town. It's like a little New Orleans, really. And it's got a river running right through the city. The movie Steel Magnolias was filmed there. And the location of the museum is right there where you remember the last scenes of that movie with Olympia Dukakis and Julia Roberts and Shirley MacLaine, all that. So, you know, the whole family's coming. I'll have the kids, grandkids, and a lot of friends, a lot of associates, and it's quite a big deal. I'm really thrilled.
You've already stolen my thunder already in this interview, because I was going to ask about Kent Lowe overshadowing you in this process, but now you talk about him outshadowing Coach Saban.
I beat you to the line, huh?
You sure did. Well, that's really a great honor, Timmy B, and we're certainly thrilled for you as we're starting to get back to normal a lot of ways. You mentioned this Hall of Fame induction will not be held virtually. It will be done in person. And just what a different conversation we're having about college football in 2021 in the summer versus what we had last year when you and I talked around this time.
Yeah, it's not about will we play or won't we play. It's about, oh, my God, what's going to happen in the next few years, right? You know, oh, my God, did you see this? And are we really going to do this? And the slam dunking of the NCAA by the justices and the Supreme Court, what that means for the NIL in the future. And I think it's a myriad of topics, obviously. It almost does seem that the football is secondary a little bit again, but it'll become primary in the next, 6 to 8 weeks. We'll get football back in the front burner as opposed to all the ancillary things that are taking place on the periphery, but it's a lot. I mean, there's a lot going on, and I think a lot of fans are having some difficulty wrapping their arms or their minds around all of it, because it seems to be moving so fast, and disseminating information that's that fast moving has a lot of people, I think, confused in many respects. College football is going to be in much better shape. I think that's the main thing. And I think fans need to understand that change was inevitable.
And with name, image, and likeness, are the changes going to be more subtle in the upcoming years, or is it going to be a really dramatic shift for those high-profile players like we've seen in recent years, a Trevor Lawrence, a Tua Tagovailoa? Are those the main guys this benefits, or could we see some big changes across the board?
I think it's going to be more subtle than people really realize. Look, those guys, the major hitters that you're talking about, there could be some blockbuster opportunities for them, yes. But listen, this hasn't been enacted just yet. And my guess is there's going to be a way, I don't know how, I'm not smart enough to know how just yet, to handle it, to monitor it, to keep it from getting too out of whack. I know a lot of schools are prepared for it. Schools were prepared long before the NCAA ever thought about being prepared. There are some private companies that were hired by the institutions themselves to prepare them for all of this. And I think after July 1, a little bit more of this will become more clear to the players. And there are going to be opportunities for them, but they're not going to be necessarily the kind of opportunities that I think the stereotypes would suggest. By example, I joined, and Roger, I don't know, you may have done this yourself. I know some people working in local regions of the country that are in my business, working either regionally or locally, that have already joined Cameo, by example. I joined about a month ago. And, you know, if somebody wants me to say happy Father's Day and happy birthday to this guy or that guy, and here's what he did when he was in high school, and say something nice, or call one of his touchdowns from 1967 in a Keith Jackson voice, I'll do that. And it'll take maybe 5 minutes of my time, and I get to monetize that. You know, I $49.99. You want me to do that for you? Ring me up. I'll do it. And it doesn't hurt anybody, you know, but it does take some of my time, and time is worth something. Okay. Whether it's Roger Hoover or Tim Brando, time is money. Okay. In today's world. So if we can do that, then why can't an offensive tackle or a tight end or a linebacker, you know, in Tuscaloosa? There'll be a lot of that takes place. I've been on golf courses before, you know, and the guys in my group would say, "Hey, Tim, I just love it when you say the iron unkind. Can you leave a phone message with iron unkind on it?" You know, and I would do it for them. But that's essentially what Cameo is. Now somebody asked me to do that, I get paid to do it. And it doesn't really hurt anyone. If that person wants it badly enough, then it's no big deal. I think there'll be quite a bit of that for all of the athletes. I think a lot of women, frankly, that's a very loyal audience. You know what the softball team accomplished this past year, and their fan base is loyal, and it's growing. And let's say this, owner of a business in T-Town wants to get, you know, that pitcher that was striking out everybody to do a little ad for them in Tuscaloosa. It doesn't hurt anybody. So, and I don't think it means that suddenly we're losing amateurism as we know it in intercollegiate athletics. So I think there'll be quite a bit of that. As it relates to the big end, the high end of this, once we get the video games going again and we see what happens with EA Sports and all that, could take it to another stratosphere. But by the time we get that far down the road, I really believe we'll have a way of monitoring it and basically making sure that the players themselves, while they're being taken care of, it's not so out of whack that there are petty jealousies and that kind of thing that exist in the locker room. I think that's the byproduct of a stereotype that a lot of people have about college athletics now. And I just think it's off base. And by the way, if some on the team are a little concerned that the Tua Tagovailoa 2.0s, all right, that come into Alabama are making more than they are, this just in the pros, there are going to be people making more than you make. You know, life is not always fair. I've made a great career for myself. Okay. I'm going into the Hall of Fame in Louisiana. All right. But, you know, I didn't do quite as well as Joe Buck or Jim Nance. And at Fox, I'm doing great games. But Gus Johnson is doing the top game that we have. So, and I'm fine with that. Okay. We have to understand that in the performance business, whether it's athletics or broadcasting, okay, some people you'll make more than, and other people will make more than you. So, listen, in college is about life, and this is a teaching moment, I think, in a lot of respects. Why not teach these young men and women while they're in college, you know, what their relative worth may be, you know, And if someone else is making more than you're making, there's a reason that that person is making more than you are.
Well, that was really the conversation, name, image, and likeness in the early part of the summer. Just as May came to a close, we got into June. Then we hear the news that the college football playoff is looking at expanding from 4 teams like we have right now to possibly 12 coming up. Just what was your reaction to the news? Did you figure maybe we'd try 8 for a little bit, or were you surprised to hear we did have 12?
Well, I'm pretty sure you knew I was happy. Right. I
mean, yeah, we've had a lot of talks about this before.
Yeah. I was astounded that they went with more than 8. And sometimes I guess a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing. I always thought that the world of college athletics, one of its pitfalls was that it change was always done in a reactionary mode, never in a proactive mode. We have to do this. Okay, we'll do it now. Okay. The 2-4 thing happened after the debacle. And I know Alabama fans don't like hearing it, but that god-awful rematch between LSU and Alabama was a snooze fest. It got a poor rating, and nobody wanted to see two SEC teams playing for the national championship. All right, at that particular time. Now the Georgia-Alabama thing was different because they each had to win to get there. So you really can't compare the two. When it was two teams selected, okay, neither LSU or Bama beat anybody in another bowl game to get to that game. They were playing again after the game of the century, which was also a snooze fest, won in Tuscaloosa by LSU. But the smoke-filled rooms in New Orleans that night were such that it was amazing how quickly Bill Hancock's no playoff, can't even say the word playoff, door in his Grapevine, Texas office got changed to the college football playoff office. I mean, within a week, they got that thing done. Well, that happens from time to time when you have seminal moments take place, and that was one of them back in 2011. I think what they noticed after that game when they went to 4 was that it looked good. We had a lot of juice early. The controversy over TCU and Baylor and Ohio State sliding into the 4 hole, but then coming up with a championship and winning it against Oregon that year, blew people away. And it was kind of, oh, well, this has got some juice to it. Well, we move forward and we see over and over and over again the same teams getting in. And the who's in promotion was a bust. We already know who's in. If I can tell you in June, the 4 or 5 teams that are going to be there, then why are we bothering with the who's in promotion? Those Tuesday night gatherings on ESPN with Reese Davis and said spokesperson for the college football playoff were just a yawn fest. We knew what questions were coming. We knew what canned responses would come. And we had between Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, and Oklahoma, 22 of 28 invites between those teams. So there was no, you know, this was not reaching out and saying it's a playoff. It was becoming a pure playoff privilege invitational. Okay, you got the big name, you got the best personnel, you're going to be there. And if you stub your toe once, you're still okay if you are those teams. You know, if TCU and Baylor had been Oklahoma or Texas in 2014, I dare say Ohio State would not have gotten in. They didn't have the same brand as either Oklahoma or Texas. So it was made easy to put Ohio State in. And you know, and fans, college football fans are smart enough to realize all this. So they tuned out. Roger, the other thing that happened that I think surprised me, and I know it really got into the heads of the commissioners of the conferences. When Alabama played Ohio State this past year, now granted, it was COVID. It was kind of a one-off year. Everyone lost money. Some lost more than others. But I think they all felt like going into this year's championship game this past year, oh, my God, we finally got it. Dream matchup. Ohio State, Alabama. Columbus is the highest rated and has more households that love college football than any other school in the Big Ten. Birmingham, Alabama is the number one rated sport college football town in America. You get more households for college football in Birmingham than any other town in America. So you had really like the Cowboys and the New England Patriots playing here. I mean, that would have been they are the comparable teams in the NFL. The Cowboys and Patriots would be Alabama and Ohio State college football. The rating was 25% lower than it had been the year before. Now that is, I mean, that was shocking. And I think it really, and it wasn't just COVID. You know, you could blame some of it on COVID, but not with those two marquee teams. And I think that rattled the chains of a lot of people, to go along with the fact that there were millions of dollars being lost from COVID. And with that in mind, they decided, you know, we really have to implement and move this thing along. What I didn't know was that they had started as far back as they did with those four guys that were in charge of putting together a plan. And, you know, kudos to them. But Mike Slive, as great as he was as a commissioner, he was a dear friend. We all miss him. And Jim Delaney, who was, I think, as powerful, if not more powerful than Mike when he was the commissioner of the Big Ten. I don't believe that this would have happened this quickly if either of them were in their positions as commissioners. I'm not sure it would have, because Delaney would have wanted to protect the Rose Bowl and the Big Ten situation. And I think Mike would have been really a little hard-headed about, well, hey, for the SEC, I think we're doing just fine. Why do we want to change any of this? And, you know, Sankey said all those things publicly. He was just chirping exactly what Mike Slive's handbook said, but he did a 180 on this. And I think the reason he did the 180 was because he was smart enough to see big picture here by opening it up to 12, not 8, but 12. You could not only guarantee a group of five team its opportunity with just saying 6 conference champions are automatically in. We're going to get the best, highest rated 6 conference champions. Okay. So that'll guarantee you one. If you go to 12, okay, maybe there is another UCF or Memphis or Coastal Carolina to go along with the Cincinnati. Okay. But the better chance is the SEC could get 3, maybe 4. The Big Ten could get 2, maybe 3. So the big boys were going to get even more revenue to come in. And that's the bottom line. Once they did the balance sheet financially to find out worth for the networks, what it would be worth to have 11 games instead of 3 games. You know, you're talking about 8 more games. You're talking about, you know, a lot of inventory. And then they saw from an ad sales standpoint what that would be worth. They went, oh, my God, you know, we're sharing $660 million versus $1.9 to $2 billion. We can't let that slip. We got to. And who knows what the framework of network television might be if you wait until 2025. Better to get your money now if it's available versus later if it's not as available. So I really suspect this thing will be done and will implement it by 2023. And it's going to be really interesting to see how this works out from a television standpoint, because I think that that thing could be really, really fun to watch. And I realize there are probably a lot of people out there saying, well, Brando, we know who you work for. And yeah, I'll admit that it wouldn't hurt my feelings at all if Fox got involved in this. But at the same time, Roger, if it does happen that ESPN pulls the trigger, and right now they own the rights, the ball's in their court. If they do pull the trigger, I'll give them a round of applause and say, fellas, go get you some. I just think the economics of this are such that the potential, okay, my considered opinion is the potential of a multi-network deal done to get that revenue up where it needs to be for the benefit of everybody involved. The potential of that is very good. And, you know, following the NFL model and having multiple networks involved, it certainly worked out well for them. I think that college football could, you know, from a business point of view, could learn a lot from that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Well, you call games on Fox Sports. You call a lot of games in the Pac-12. Can a 12-team playoff revitalize that conference, or is it still going to be tough to get to the final matchup of the year in this new model for them?
Well, they got to get better. I mean, the Pac-12 is behind the American right now in terms of its quality of play and its depth of good teams. You know, they've got to get better. Right now, I would say Oregon is probably the bell cow of the Pac-12. I would have said Arizona State is next, but to see what's going on there, God knows what's going to happen with Herm Edwards' team now. Pac-12's got a lot of work to do. But I do think that a representative from the Pac-12 has a chance, a much better chance with this than before. The big winners here, I think, are, you know, the Big Ten and the SEC and the Big 12, who I think could get multiple teams. Big 12 has really gotten good. I mean, it's really gotten good. Quality coaches in the league. I think Oklahoma is going to have, you know, a lot of competition in that conference again this year. Iowa State's returning virtually everybody. And, you know, if they had a rematch next year or this coming year, similar to the one that they had last year, both those teams might get in. If Oklahoma were playing Iowa State again. But I think the American is a real, real beneficiary, because we've seen now over a handful of years, post Boise State, we've seen the American come up with quality teams in with a consistency. UCF has been consistent. Cincinnati has been pretty consistent. Memphis is almost there with its level of consistency. But then, you know, out west, every now and then a team like a San Jose State comes off the woodwork and goes, they went 9-0 last year. Now they got buried in their bowl game because they lost some players to COVID and a few opted out. But this is a win-win for everybody. They took care of all the constituents with this move. I have high praise for all the commissioners involved. And I do believe that for those that are critical of it, and say, well, we're not going to, those games, those special games where you're just that regular season game where if Alabama loses to LSU, my God, it's over. Oh, and if LSU loses, my God, it's over. Okay, I'll give you that. We may lose one of those games, but for every one of those games we lose, I'll give you five games in mid-October all the way to the end of November and December that will matter more than they've ever mattered. Here's a classic example, Roger. I was doing in 2019 up against the Auburn-Alabama game, the Iron Bowl. We had Iowa and Wisconsin on the big from the Big Ten. Spencer Tillman and I are calling the game opposite the Iron Bowl. That game did a 2.9 rating. Now, that's just under 3 million viewers. That's pretty good up against the Iron Bowl that I think did maybe a 9 or a 10, something up like that. I mean, that's a huge number. But Iowa and Wisconsin were playing for what? They were playing for the division title, for the right to be 3 touchdown underdogs against Ohio State.
Right.
Okay? That's what they were playing for. They were ranked, I think it was number 11 and number 15. So it was a top 15 game. They were really sound football teams with a great deal of Big Ten tradition. So they had a very loyal Big Ten audience. You know, two schools, you know, we're not talking about Ohio State here, and we're not talking about Michigan, but we're talking about that next tier of quality teams in the Big Ten, and they almost had 3 million viewers. Well, put that game now in a scenario where we're talking 12 teams in the college football playoff. Well, that game takes on so much more meaning, okay, than it otherwise would. So there'll be a lot more eyeballs tuning into everything. And that's my point of view. I want more eyeballs on more games. You know, to me, the Alabama-Auburn game could and should be getting 13 to 14 million, not 10, 13 to 14. And the Iowa-Wisconsin game could get 5 or 6, not 3. And that's what we're looking to do with college football, is grow it. We're looking to grow the sport. We don't need to grow it necessarily in the SEC or in the Big Ten. We need to grow it west of the Red River, and we need to grow it east of Nashville. You know, we got to get the Eastern Seaboard more in line with college football. They really don't care up there. The Northeast is pro country. But we could grow this thing if we have reasons for people to root for certain teams. You know, Coastal Carolina BYU. How many more people would have watched that game if they had known something was on the line?
Right.
Now, the game was great. Game day went. But in the end, we all knew it really didn't matter. It was, there's your 15 minutes of fame, but see ya. You know, now that game is going to matter.
Certainly will. And we'll finish up on some Alabama talk. Big news in Tuscaloosa. Nick Saban has been extended through 2028. Of course, he could sign another extension coming up in 2025 and go into the 2030s and beyond. But what do you think that says about the long-term status of this program that continues bringing in these top recruiting classes? Just what do you see for the Crimson Tide first this fall and then moving forward with Coach Saban making it very clear that he's in for the long haul?
All right, I'm going to give you a scoop here, Raj. Are you ready? Tim Brando has been extended. I have. You're gonna have to put up with me for a few more years on Fox. Okay.
Congrats.
You're the first one to get that news, Raj. That thing has been embargoed until I came on your show. All right.
We're honored. Thank you.
Yeah, it won't be until I'm 80 years old, though. I can tell you it won't be. By the time I get to where Nick, I believe his contract is supposed to take him, I'll be playing the roles that Ray Bolger used to play on the Love Boat. All right. I'll be somewhere on a cruise ship between St. Thomas and Nassau. Okay. But listen, this is, I give a lot of credit to Greg Byrne. Again, forward thinking. This is he'll be a conference commissioner one day. I feel pretty confident telling you that. He's really strong. He's one of the top 4 or 5 ADs in the country. Why not take advantage of this? You know, why not get out front of this and just eliminate the conversation? With the transfer portal and everything going on in the wild, wild west of recruiting, why not? I think, look, it was his idea. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind it was his idea. And Nick was like, all right, fine. You know, okay. And I don't see myself wanting to do anything else. And because I'm in the situation that I am professionally, and we're talking on the eve of my going into the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame, and I get this question asked a lot, Roger, you know, how much longer do you want to do this? That's happening to me now. And I just look at people when they ask me, and I'm like, well, that's almost like asking me, how long do I want to stay married? You know, I love my wife, and I hope I stay married for, you know, forever. I don't, why would I want not to be married to my lovely wife? She's put up with me for 42 years. And by the way, her name's Terry too. All right. She's Miss Terry as well. Nick loves what he does. I love what I do. You know, I dream about ball games I haven't called yet. Well, I'm sure he dreams about coaching games. I know he's not just dreaming. He's preparing for games he hasn't coached yet. You know, so I think he doesn't see himself not wanting to do something that he loves. He truly loves. And he's really, from a legacy standpoint, he's past all that. You know, I think there was a period there when we can all legitimately say, well, until he gets number 6 at Bama, and he can say he's got 7 because he had the 1 at LSU, then, you know, maybe after that. Well, we're after that. And he still loves what he does, and doesn't see himself doing anything less than what he's doing. And so I know I feel that way. And I'm, I think, 4 years younger than Nick. So I identify with it. I really do. In his job, it's more stressful, and he's working more hours than I do. But I will tell you, it's a way of life. It's there was a time in my life when I was working around the calendar and holding down 3 or 4 gigs at one time with W-2s flying in from all over the place. Now I'm just doing really college football and basketball, and then I'm playing golf and chasing grandbabies. But until such time as I think he feels like he's maybe missing out on grandkids or missing out on some personal things that he could be doing or wants to do, why wouldn't he do this? And I think his family is, I mean, they're part of this, you know, it's like a team. His wife, Terry, is dynamic, and she enjoys it. I think she wants it as much for him as he wants it for himself. So I think it's a very wise choice, and I don't see any reason to believe that he's not going to do it until such time as he says, okay, I don't think I can pour into this what I've always done in the past. So I'm impressed, and I guess I shouldn't be surprised. There was a time when I thought he might, and we talked about it on my show. I did a one-on-one with him back in 2016, and I talked to him about being the czar of college football. I think that would be a wonderful job for him. I would love for him, if the NCAA were totally out of the picture and the conferences took over college football, if the commissioners took it over, and they needed someone to look out for the betterment of college football in total, all of it, I think Nick would be challenged by that. That might be something that he would consider, but that's not going to happen for the foreseeable future.
Well, in the foreseeable future, you've got a contract extension with Fox. We just learned that, and we've extended your time on this.
Breaking news for you, Roger.
We're going to take to Twitter immediately once we're done. But, Tim, just thank you so much for all of your insights in this past little bit here with us on Crimson Drive. And have a great weekend getting inducted in the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. Congratulations from all of us here at the Capstone.
Thank you, man. Great to be with you. Congratulations on all of your accomplishments, and that Alabama women's softball team is incredible. That was some run they made.
Certainly was. Thanks, Tim.
You bet.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.